welcome to another episode of Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. I'm your host, Tracy Principe. Thanks so much for tuning in today. If you are not already in the Facebook group is also called Navigating No Contact with Toxic Parents. Feel free to join. I do a lot more trainings, webinars, and videos in there for more support. It's a really, really wonderful, supportive community. And it's just growing so quickly. That means, unfortunately, so many of us are in this position. However, there is a community of support and understanding and validation. So check that out. If you guys have ideas for podcast topics or something that you want me to talk about, feel free to email me. Email me at tracy@tracyprincipe.com. It's TracyPrincipe. tracy@tracyprincipe.com. Feel free to email me there. Questions, anything, podcast topics. Would love to hear from you. Okay, so today's episode is specifically on toxic mothers. And I know with Mother's Day coming up, this can still be a very, sensitive feeling. And lots of feelings can come up around Mother's Day, especially when society tells us to, honor our mothers, or we see that on the news and in stores, and we hear it from friends or, coworkers, that kind of thing. So it can definitely bring up unresolved emotions, regardless if you have been no contact for a very long time, or if you're recently, or you're low contact. It can, so having feelings and emotions around it is not wrong, no matter how long you've been no contact, or how long you've been healing, or going to therapy, or whatever it is. It's totally normal to have feelings around this. And if you don't have feelings around it, that's totally okay too, either way. But this is a special podcast on this subject specifically of toxic mothers. And I'm also hosting a webinar on May 8th that is specifically around the mother wound and how you can be your own mother. It's really about becoming our own mothers, right? And that, healing that worthiness wound, the mother wound. So that's a special webinar I'm doing, and you can register for that. If you just email me, I can email you the link. Or again, that is posted in my Facebook group and on my business page, Tracy Principe. You can find that webinar and register for it. Or you can just email me and I can send you the link, okay? That's coming up on May 8th. And if you register, you will automatically get the recording if you can't attend live, okay? But the live will have an opportunity to chat, which obviously won't, you won't be able to do that on the recording. All right, so let's get started. With toxic mothers, what does that mean? How do you know if you have one? So here's the thing. The basic core wound of any toxic parent, but mother specifically, because that was most likely your primary caregiver, is that they were not able to meet your needs emotionally. They were not able to validate you for whatever reasons of their own, that they were not, they didn't have the awareness or the capacity to be able to meet your needs. So when you are a baby, you are not able to regulate your own nervous system. You need someone else to regulate it for you, right? So that's why babies scream and cry, and they get colicky, and they get, they have temper tantrums, because babies don't have a regulated nervous system. They don't have they don't have the ability to manage their own emotions and feelings, and they're trying to figure out the world with all the senses and everything else that babies do, right? So you need a parent to comfort you when you're a baby, to regulate you, right? And so that comes through someone picking you up when you're crying and comforting you and holding you, and, you know, feeding you, right? All of those things are very comforting and helps to regulate a baby's system. Then when you get older, you still need someone, you need to be able to express yourself because you're still learning how to do that, right? So if you had parents that were not able to, you know, that they were not healthy themselves, they could not meet your needs, you learned pretty quickly from a very young age that you shut down, right? You learn to shut that off. You learn to not express yourself. Crying was not okay. Maybe whatever chaos was going on in the home that you saw told you that you had to, you know, be careful, mind your P's and Q's, walk on eggshells, whatever it was. It didn't. The thing with emotional neglect is that that's all it takes, right? So that's all it takes. And a lot of people don't realize that that is in fact trauma, and it's in fact really damaging, especially when it's coming from your mother, because you look to your mother for everything. Okay, so it ends up being very, very damaging. All trauma is damaging, but just because most people don't recognize this as actual trauma and how damaging it is until I kind of lay out the breadcrumbs, and this is what I do. I lay out the breadcrumbs for you guys, and that awareness is the first step, right? Of really connecting those dots. That's what I had to do. I had no idea I even had trauma, and wow, was I mistaken, right? Okay. So, toxic mothers can look like a range of things going on, okay? It could be a range, but all you really need is one, okay? So, they could be a narcissist, they could have some other personality disorder, mental illness, diagnosed, undiagnosed. They could be a raging alcoholic. They could be, some other kind of drug addict or another addiction. Maybe they're just codependent and enabler, right? So you just saw them shut down. Maybe they were depressed. So many things, right? So, but in one way or another, they did not validate how you feel. Maybe they used a lot of gaslighting. So just, hey, I feel this way. And they're like, no, you don't. Or I have, you know, I have this and the doctor thinks it might be this or whatever it is. You go and you explain something and they just immediately completely invalidate your experience and your feelings. Okay. Or they just ignore you. So emotional neglect. Maybe they abandoned you. Maybe they weren't in your life at all. Maybe they put you up for adoption. Maybe they put you in foster care. Maybe they definitely didn't have any empathy or love for you, and that was really, really apparent from a young age, right? If they were in your life, there could have been a lot of criticism, right? I'm not good enough. I'm not worthy. I can't do anything right. It could be very, very controlling everything you do. Lots of guilt tripping and manipulation. They could humiliate you, especially in front of friends. And just, you know, that invalidation of your emotions and your feelings that taught you to shut yourself off and shut yourself down and not feel your own emotions, because that was not okay. They could be totally passive aggressive. And absolutely no boundaries, no personal boundaries. They don't have any boundaries and they don't respect people's boundaries, right? And just a one-sided relationship, again, usually because they are very surface level, superficial, and you have to, you know, manage yourself to be at that level, even if you don't want to. And the worst thing is when you grow up like that, you think it's normal. You think that's just the way mom is, because you typically don't have anyone to validate that, right? If you did have a father, the father could be any number of roles, even if they're passive aggressive, enabling, codependent themselves or some other issue, they're also not validating, you know, what's going on with your mom, right? That's just the way she is. A very, very common kind of a bypass, kind of a an excuse, right? Nobody has to change if that's just the way she is and you're just going to have to deal with it, right? Nobody has to change or do anything. So that brings me to my next point. You can't change your mother. We know that for those of us that have been at this for a while. All you can do is work on your own relationship with yourself. That's it. It's the only way that you're going to be able to heal. You know, I always say that you have to stop the fantasy that they're going to change or see you or hear you or love you. The chances of that happening certainly are very, very slim. Very slim, okay? So once we come to grips with that, the reality of that, we can begin to get some clarity, see things for what they are, and then work on the relationship with ourselves, because that's the only way we're going to heal. Can't look to anybody to heal, you know, to get that love from. We're going to have to get it ourselves. So, and of course, one way to do that is going no contact. That is a boundary. It's a boundary for yourself. Low contact could possibly, potentially work. But, and again, you know, you guys get to make your own decisions around this. Low contact could potentially maybe work. It's a big, I see it not work for very many people, but that could be an option, right? The main thing is that when you're interacting with your mother, you feel worse about yourself. That's a problem. Okay, so you have an interaction and you feel worse. And a lot of people, after seeing their mother, have bodily, somatic, body symptoms that come up, like anxiety, panic attacks, you know, complex PTSD symptoms after being around their mother. But in general, she just makes you feel worse than when you started having the conversation, right? So that is a bad sign. And your priority, possibly for the first time in your life, is to take care of yourself, right? And set some boundaries. Really set some boundaries. Even if you just set some boundaries for a while, it doesn't have to be permanent. Let's just start with, let's set this, you know, low, very, very, very low contact or no contact boundary and see what happens. Let me work on myself, right? Okay, so and then that's a good time, you know, that's a good time to begin to unravel, because what we're doing, we need, once we get out of that, we begin to unravel just how damaging all of that was, right? So, we see that through our own coping mechanisms, through our own behaviors of how damaging that was, right? And we usually end up, the telltale sign is we often end up in relationships with someone who also cannot meet our emotional needs, is invalidating, or worse, abusive. But at the very least, we end up with a partner who can't meet us emotionally, cannot meet our emotional needs, cannot validate our experiences, our feelings. They are not emotionally available. And and the worst thing, they could be using drugs or alcohol or something else to numb out with, right? If we came from that, we often end up with that. But even if we don't, we could still end up with someone that isn't emotionally available. They're not available because they have their own stuff that they haven't dealt with, and they are numbing out or distracting or whatever they're doing. Or worst case is they are physically or verbally abusive, right? So that's what happens, because that is, we, you know, it's the core wound is I'm not good enough. Okay, that is the core wound. The core message that we got is I'm not worthy of love. I'm not good enough of love. And I'm not even good enough of loving myself, right? So we hear a lot about self-love. What does that even mean? So the mother that is, you know, that core wound of I'm not good enough is a mother that didn't love, that had no empathy. And this is most likely a covert or overt narcissist, but you know, they could have narcissistic traits. There could be other issues too. But someone that is, really is not capable of love or empathy, right? And you felt that from a young age, that there was no love, there was no empathy, you were not seen or heard. The covert narcissist is very manipulative and secretive. It's not as obvious as the overt narcissist, right? An overt narcissist can possibly show times, maybe in public, that you are the good son or daughter. And so those messages are very, it causes the narcissism on a spectrum, causes the most confusion, because the messages can be very mixed and it just causes, is it me, is it them? And that anxiety around that confusion. And yeah, it's a lot. So you could have, you know, been severely manipulated, criticized, or just flat out ignored. Maybe it was just a look, right? Not so much words, but a look. Maybe you were given the silent treatment, right? That person is going to be very selfish, very self-absorbed. So if they're also a perfectionist, you are never going to be able to do anything right, and you're never going to be good enough in their eyes, right? No matter what you do. And that control freak type is going to just be very overpowering, very, very, very overpowering personality, right? What to wear, how to act, what to do, and complete invasion of your privacy, right? Maybe going in your room, looking through your stuff. It doesn't matter if you lie or tell the truth, you will never be believed. Controlling your relationships, you know, just every ounce of control. Control, control, control. And then there's that master guilt tripper manipulation too in there, right? And that can be overt or covert. So the covert manipulation is, again, very, very dangerous, very confusing. She will make you feel guilty. She will blame you and make you feel responsible for her bad behavior. Okay? And she will down, and lots of gaslighting. You might defend, you know, you might even try to defend yourself. You might even feel anger, or maybe you just shut down. In any of these situations, we get, you know, fight or flight or shut down mode, right? So we could not get away from that. And then there's just, you know, that humiliation in front of your friends or other family members. And for that, you're definitely going to feel a lot of shame, lots of shame around the, you know, humiliation. That might be seem like you're being overly sensitive, or you can't take a joke, those kinds of things, right? With complete disregard for how you're really feeling. And that is going to cause a lot of shame and a lot of shutdown, right? So your nervous system and your regulation is going to be very, very shut down. You might even notice you hung your head and your shoulders kind of rolled forward in that shame and shutdown, right? And then invalidating, you know, very invalidating and not allowing you to have your own emotions. You're going to be criticized for that. And maybe you're even told to get over it, or that you shouldn't be having those feelings, right? And that makes you feel worse, not better. And then there's the passive aggressiveness, and all of these can be mixed in, right? So they could have all of them or some of them, or it could be very, you know, overt. The passive aggressive doesn't outwardly express that anger, but does it passively. they actually don't like confrontation, so they'll do it kind of, you know, they'll do it passively in this kind of backhanded, backdoor, roundabout way, right? Okay. So all of that affects your adult relationships. You begin to build coping mechanisms. You started building coping mechanisms, and your nervous system started changing with this dysfunction. And then you went out into the world as an adult. As an adult, right? And what happened? Maybe you're a people pleaser. It all comes down to that, not feeling good enough and not getting your needs met. So you're going to meet a partner who's not able going to meet your needs, right? For whatever reason. And you could also end up being that codependent people pleaser, which is more of a shutdown. I need to be liked. I don't want anybody mad at me. I don't want to upset them. You'll make excuses for other people's bad behavior because you actually don't want to lose them. Right? So you remain powerless because you want to be loved instead. But you will feel guilty. You'll feel a lot of guilt and shame because you do want more, but you don't allow yourself to go there. So the thing with the current pandemic, a lot of people are coming to me and, you know, messaging me and reaching out to me because this is what's happening. This is, you know, the pandemic is the trauma of the world right now, the collective trauma, and then your own individual trauma is coming up. So because our nervous systems are activated into, you know, fight or flight because there's an actual threat, a virus, and because our nervous systems also carry our past baggage and wounds in our nervous systems, in our bodies, that's getting activated too, that residual from the past. So a lot of people are not even aware of that connection, and they will say, well, what's wrong with me? I don't understand. I had a panic attack for the first time. I had an anxiety attack for the first time, or I can't sleep. I had a nightmare. I had this or that. And it is because this past stuff that you never worked through, that is unprocessed in your body, is also getting activated with the fight or flight survival mode that, and you know, if you didn't work through your trauma, there's a good chance you are in survival mode anyway. You may or may not recognize that. Plus with the pandemic. So that's what's going on. So your people's trauma is being activated for the very first time in the situation that we're in now. And a lot of people don't realize that's what it is and don't understand what's happening, right? So, so it comes down to that not being good enough, that core wound of, you know, I'm not good enough, the worthiness wound, lots of shame, there's something wrong with you, must be you, because we internalize that, must be me, and you're powerless because you have to look for other people to meet your needs, and they typically don't, because they're going to be looking for what's familiar, right? But you do deep down want more than what you feel that something's off, right? And you shouldn't be suffering. Right? So there's this worthiness and you know, lack of empowerment, and that can lead to your own eating disorders, depression, addictions. You could be that perfectionist, that people pleaser, right? The martyr. And just generally not knowing who you are, not trusting yourself, right? And that's when we get into bad relationships, spend money on stuff we don't need, right? All of those things. When it really comes down to your nervous system, when we are grounded in our body and have a fairly regulated nervous system, we aren't making those decisions from outside of our body. So when we're outside of our body, it's that survival energy. And we're like, oh my God, I have to make this decision because this person might get mad at me. Or I have to, you know, my boss is not happy and I have to, you know, do all these things or whatever. But when we're grounded in our body, that's our boundary. That's our boundaries, right? Completely different feeling, completely life changing when you're in your body, because it's safe to be in your body. When you're out there going, oh my gosh, you're on the hamster wheel in your mind, overthinking, it's not safe to be in your body. We didn't learn to be in our bodies. It wasn't safe. We had to stay in our head. Okay? Core problem with the world right now. Yeah, that's a big problem. Imagine if the world was regulated. So, what happens when we don't have awareness of this is we go into the world and we have our own children and we repeat a lot of those patterns. Because we lack the awareness, we don't have the tools, and so we're emotional regulation. If we're stressed, we are not going to, you know, we're going to get very triggered, even by our kids, by a baby crying, by a partner, you know, all of those things, because we have a high stress level. We don't handle stress well. We don't have the tools. So then we go into the world and maybe we, you know, start smoking weed or drinking alcohol or eating or whatever it is to try to, we're actually trying to regulate our nervous systems by using substances that are widely available to us, right? Because we didn't know that there was another way to live. So I really want to bring awareness to this of the, you know, it's the unmet needs, so that you can really start. I want you to start, you know, the very first step is just, I want you guys to really start connecting those dots, right? This is what I help people do. Really connecting those dots so you get that clarity to say, oh, okay, I see that line really clearly of how I didn't get my needs met. My mom was this, this, or that. And now how I'm doing that in my life. How does that show up in my life right now as my coping mechanisms? You gotta be really honest with yourself, right? It's there. It's there. If you need help with that, let me know. We can work on it together. It's definitely there. So, and this, it's clear now. If it wasn't clear before, in this pandemic, it's becoming really, really clear, right? We can see that. Most people that reach out to me, they're like, yes, I see that connection now. What do I do? Right? And so that's what's going on. And then you can make better decisions about what you want to do, right? That's when the clarity comes and you say, okay, yeah, I get it. My parents can't change. I got that. Okay? That's, you know, I can't look to them for my needs anymore. I can't be that child that is still looking to my parents to love me, accept me, whatever. That's not going to happen. So now I want to be the adult and I want to reparent myself. I want to love myself. I want to be a better mother if I'm a mother. Or I plan on being a mother, I want the tools to make sure that this cycle breaks with me. And if you look at your history, if you know any of your, you know, on your mother's side of the family, if you can find anything, you know, genealogy, it's really also good to see, you know, what, how did her mother treat her, right? So for example, my mom did not talk to her own mother. She hated her own mother, my grandmother, right? My maternal grandmother. I don't know why, because she wouldn't ever talk about it. I loved my grandma, and I know that my grandma loved me. If I didn't have my grandma, I'm not sure if I would have made it. My grandma definitely had some issues. You know, she was into the silent treatment. I specifically remember that as a kid. And she wasn't all that warm and loving either, but I knew that she loved me, whereas it was really obvious with my mom that she didn't, right? So I don't know what happened, and obviously my grandma's dead now, so I can't ask her, but I don't know what happened. And also, you know, maybe my grandmother treated me differently than she would have treated her own daughter, which is often the case, right? So we can't totally get the full picture. However, there was some trauma. And then I didn't know my grandmother's history, but I found it on ancestry.com in public records that my grandmother's father died, fell off a horse and buggy when she was like 7 years old, right? And he was like 28, you know, in those days. It was, he didn't live as long. And so that must have been horrific. And my great-grandmother had eight or 11 children, like, I don't know, maybe 10 at least. My grandmother and all those brothers, all those siblings, right? So women didn't have options back then. So what happened is my great-grandmother got married to some other guy right away because that was the only option with 10 kids. So finding that out, I was, you know, I was like, okay, you know, there was definitely trauma on the, you know, that maternal side. So you want to look at your maternal side, if anybody knows, just to, if you find that fascinating, or, you know, just for some information, right? For some awareness, because this gets passed down. This gets passed down until somebody breaks it, until somebody says, hey, wait a minute, something's wrong here. This isn't right. And that is a boundary. That's a boundary, right? And other siblings aren't doing that. They're in the mix. We know that. Through the golden child and the flying monkeys, or the, you know, what, triangulation and all that. And that's okay. That's their coping mechanisms. But we are saying, like, something's off here. I don't know what, because nobody's validating, but I'm gonna, you know, and that is a boundary. You are actually listening to your body. So when you do that, you are listening to your body. That's the very first step of listening to your body, because your body's telling you something, right? And then, of course, taking it deeper through all of the other aspects of our lives and connecting those dots. But if you know anything about your mother's side of the family, it's really hard because typically they don't divulge that information. They're not open with it. Maybe they lie. Maybe, you know, maybe people die and whatnot. But just knowing that there is a history of trauma on the mother's side of your family, you can probably most likely guess that there is, that nobody ended that. Nobody broke those cycles until you. Sometimes that kind of helps us see the clearer picture of what was going on with the women. You know, what was going on with the women on that side, you know, on the maternal side of your family, right? What kind of women were they? You know, what happened? Just kind of see those, you know, that being passed down. And maybe if it feels good to you to even honor that for Mother's Day, like, wow, I honor my grandmother that, I don't know if she, you know, her dad died at 28 years old. Her dad was 28 years old, fell off a horse and buggy and broke his neck. And nobody said a word. They just, you know, 10 kids and packed up and married, you know, I mean, that must have been a lot of trauma, right? Back in 1892 or whatever. So things like that, when I learned that, you can have a little bit more empathy. You can find maybe a little bit more empathy. And you can still be angry. Yeah, absolutely. You don't want to disregard anger or any of your feelings that you're having. But just, you know, bring some awareness to the plight of the women. Not, you know, doesn't excuse the bad behavior of your mother. But there was definitely a generation and a legacy of trauma left behind. And so, you know, that gives you more motivation to make sure that you break it and that you be your own mother, right? That you reparent yourself and you give yourself the loving and nurturing that you deserve. So that's what I do with my clients. I do somatic experiencing and nervous system regulation. I allow you to feel your own emotions. I'm creating that safe space, hopefully safer, right? Space where you can feel and process those emotions for the first time. So instead of somebody shutting you down, we're going to complete the process. We're going to go through the process. You got shut down. You couldn't complete it, right? You had to stuff your tears. You had to, you know, shut up and be quiet or whatever, and you could not express yourself. So that process got stuck in your body. And then you learned again to just, you know, be a people pleaser, not rock the boat, and don't upset that person, partner, or whatever. And the anger and resentment build up and all all of those things build up in your body, right? From you know, keeping yourself very disempowered, right? Very small, not speaking your truth. And so that damages the body, the nervous system, obviously. Until, you know, you say, hey, I'm gonna work on myself. I'm gonna, get my nervous system regulated, get boundaries set, do these things that I need to do for myself, completing this trauma process that never got to be completed. That is self-mothering. That's self-mothering. You're not looking to your mother to do that anymore, because that isn't going to happen. You have to look for, to it yourself, and you've got to take those steps to do that. Life becomes much easier, more peaceful, more joyous, more freedom, for sure, because you're freeing yourself from being this person to make others happy, or thinking that you are, but they're still never going to be happy, just like your parents, just like your mother, right? Yeah. So that's really what it comes down to. Just be your own mother by letting those emotions, by, getting that safe space and help from whoever it is, me or somebody else, to work through this process. That's when things change. That's reparenting, self-mothering. And that's true self-love and self-care, in my opinion. And if you already have children, or you plan on having children, or even if you don't, you're going to learn to have those better relationships that are your emotionally, because you got to meet your own emotional needs first. You can't meet anybody's true emotional needs until you meet your own. If you're still ignoring your own emotions in bad relationships, or still allowing your parents to, control you, then you're never meeting your own emotional needs. You're really not. That's a fundamental core wound for all of us. For all of us, right? Okay, so it ends with you and then it starts with you. All right, so I'm going to end there today. That's a big, heavy one. So think about that. And so that was toxic mothers in a nutshell. But again, it's that core emotional wound of not being good enough. And I will do a podcast on toxic fathers probably next month for Father's Day. So I'd love to have you join the webinar. It's going to be a little bit more in depth, and then I'll do a calming, regulating exercise on the webinar, and some Q&A on there as well. So it'll be a little bit more in depth, and that will be May 8th. So email me or message me on Facebook, join the Facebook group, and definitely get registered for that webinar on healing the mother wound, and really being your own mother for Mother's Day, right? And that's when we can start to just make our own Mother's Day, right? Could look like whatever we want it to look like. So hopefully you guys enjoyed that. Hopefully it gave you some new awareness. Let me know if you got any nuggets out of that or any aha moments. Would love to hear about it. And any other topics you want me to talk about, you can also, if you join the Facebook group, you can ask there too. A lot of people post. So it's a really great way to connect. Thanks so much for tuning in, and I'll see you next time. Bye-bye.